you take God's word, please turn to the book of Joshua chapter 15. The book of Joshua chapter 15. We're going to continue with a message that we started last week, and we pick up our reading in verse number 13. Joshua 15 and verse number 13. And I'm glad he set me free too. Amen. He's been good to us. I appreciate your prayers. My wife and I and two precious kids will be leaving tomorrow. God willing, we'll be coming back. But you'll catch up by freight tomorrow, I guess, sometime. We're going to Maryland. We'll be up there for meetings Monday through Friday. And then going right across town about 30 minutes away and preaching a meeting in Pennsylvania next Sunday through Friday. So I covet your prayers with that. Joshua chapter 15, verse 13. And unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. And he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was Kirjath Sepher. Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath Sepher and taketh it, to him will I give Aksel, my daughter, to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksel, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, what wouldest thou? Who answered, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land, give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. I want to give you part two to the message that we began last week on the father-daughter relationship. The father-daughter relationship. Let's pray together and we'll share this thought with you. Our Father, we love you tonight. And I thank you, God, for how good and great you have been to each one of us. I thank you today on Mother's Day for my mom who's in the service. I pray that you'll bless her today. I thank you for my dear wife, God, who's doing a great job in helping to raise these precious children, God, that you've blessed us with. I pray that you bless her in a mighty way. I pray, Lord, that you help us tonight as we've gathered here. I pray that you help me to preach, God, like I cannot preach. I pray that you'll preach through me. May thy will be done. May the name of Jesus Christ be lifted high and holy, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In chapters 15 through 19, it consists largely of a list, some of this is review, of places allotted to Israel's tribes. And like I said last week, it may be hard to recognize exactly why the Lord included these chapters in His Word, but we know that nothing, absolutely nothing, is recorded in Scripture without divine design, and I'm glad to announce that tonight. And in chapter 15, we see something brought out for our attention. As a matter of fact, it's one of the God-given relationships, if you will. It's the relationship on display between a father and his daughter. Now, the father-daughter relationship is such a blessing of God Almighty. And let me say here that this message is for everyone. Obviously, we apply it to fathers with daughters. Secondly, we apply it to children with their father. But then I'm applying this also spiritually, that just like Caleb was the right kind of daddy to Aksel, so God is the right kind of father to his children. And just like Aksel responded to her father, in the same way God's children should respond to him. Let me just review with you quickly. Last week, we looked at the father, Caleb. Four things about him. Number one, he proved his daughter's husband. If you'll notice in verse number 16, he was not going to turn his daughter over to just anybody. He was protecting his little girl, and it's time that daddies do the same. Amen. And in the same way, God Almighty, as our Father, protects us, watches out for us, and takes care of us. Point number two last week, we noticed that Caleb would not only proved his daughter's husband, but he performed his own word. He said, whosoever will smite Kirjath Sepher, I will give him my daughter. And that's exactly what he did. And every daddy can learn, really everybody can learn from this, that we need to tell the truth. Amen? Christians ought to be truthful people. And spiritually speaking, our Heavenly Father always tells the truth. Now, where would we be if he didn't? Good night. Thank God you can take it to the bank, whatever our Father tells us. Amen. Third thing we looked at last week is Caleb as the father. He presented his time to Aksel. And we see that in verse number 18 where there's no sense of him being bothered by his daughter.
But he's presenting his time, and it's time that dads and moms both take time, make time to spend with their kids. And I'm glad, spiritually speaking, that our Heavenly Father is never too busy for me. Amen. Thank God he's available day or night. And he wants us to spend time with him. Then number four, we looked at last week, he provided his daughter's request. In verses 18 and 19, when she came to him and approached him, he granted her request, and it's time that daddies take the lead in providing for their homes. And on the flip side, spiritually speaking, this is where we concluded last week, I'm glad our God takes care of his children, aren't you? Amen. Now let's look secondly tonight for the father-daughter relationship part two. Let's look at the daughter. This is point number two now in the message. The daughter acts all. Now we've already considered the father and how he pictures our Heavenly Father. Now we turn our attention to the daughter acts all, and we'll be considering how children should treat their daddy along with their mother really, and applying it spiritually to how God's children should treat our Heavenly Father. Three things about Axel tonight that we draw out for our attention. Number one, the first thing she did with her daddy is she respected her father. We see this in verse number 18. Look at the Bible where it says, "And it came to pass as she came unto him that she moved into the ask of her father a field, and she lighted off her ass." Now, we see that she respected her daddy in this statement, she lighted off of her ass. Now, here she's coming to her father, Caleb. And when she gets to him, she gets down off of her animal. Now, what in the world does that mean? Well, the significance of this action is in this day when a person got off of an animal that they were riding, they were showing a sign of great reverence and great respect, modesty and humility and subjection. Now keep in mind, her daddy has given her away to a man of his choosing, and instead of her being bitter, she is still showing much reverence and respect for her daddy. And it's interesting to note that she's honoring her daddy and respecting her daddy as a married woman. Amen. Now I want to paint a picture with you tonight. This man, let's just call him Eric, you know, or whatever the case may be, walks in the front door after a long day at work, and his son, we just call him Sammy, is lying on the couch absorbed in his, in his electronic game. He says, "I'm home," calls the dad. And the teenage boy says, "Hi, Dad," but doesn't even lift his eyes from his game. Eric continues to go through the house to the living room. His teenage daughter's on the phone in the kitchen. He says, "Hey," we'll just call her Joan or something like that tonight. "Hey, Joan," kissing her on the cheek. How was the big math test?" She calls back and says, "I'll be off in a while, Dad. Don't bother me right now." Now, what's wrong with that picture? I'll tell you what's wrong with it. Disrespect. Let me say something to you tonight. The fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments is honor thy father and thy mother. And what I'm saying to you here, let me tell you one reason that America's in the shape it is. Disrespect from children. Now I know what I'm talking about. Now stay here with me just a moment. But on a social level, respect for authority is one of the pillars that society is built upon. Building respect for parents at home enables children to accept and respect authority elsewhere. No doubt about it. You show me a teenager who disrespects their teacher, I show you the problem. It starts at the home. And all I'm saying to you, one of the problems with America today, now thank God we're American. I thank God I am born in America. Amen. But one of the problems with this country is that parents don't step their foot down and there's disrespect in the home, and that is witchcraft. It's worse as witchcraft because the Bible says God wants his children, I'm talking about physical children, to honor and obey their mom and daddy. Children who honor their parents, don't miss this, children who honor their parents will have little trouble honoring the Lord. Did you hear what I just said? Parents, why is it so important that you demand respect in your home? Because if they do not respect you, who they can see, How do you expect them to respect God who they cannot see? And we see here that Aksaw is setting an example for all children to respect their daddy, and I'm going to put on it also their mother. In Ephesians 6, 1 and 2, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." Do you realize that that verse is divided into two sections? Obedience and honor are two separate things. May I say to you that obedience is action. Honor is attitude. Let me show you what I mean. The Bible says that God wants His children, I'm talking about literal children with a physical mom and dad, to obey and honor their parents. What's the difference? Let's say that my mom, she's in the service tonight. Let's say my mom came up to me and I'm living at home. I'm not living at home, by the way, but let's just say that I was. Better clear that up, you know. So on. Say she comes to me and she says, "Jody, I want you to go clean your room." And I go, and I walk off and I slam my door and I clean my room. Did I obey her? Yes, in action. But I dishonored her in attitude. And let me tell you something. Which one do you think is more important? That's exactly right. That was a trick question. Both are important. And both are equal. Let me give you some powerful verses here. Proverbs 30, 17, "The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagle shall eat it." Any questions? Good night. What a verse. I mean, let me read Proverbs 37, "The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagle shall eat it." Proverbs 20, 20, "Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness." Don't tell me this is not important to God, because it is. The Bible says in Leviticus 19, 3, "Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father. I am the Lord your God." Powerful verses. 1 Samuel 15, 23, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." Some people say this is archaic preaching. This is old as the hills. It's as old as the Bible is. Thank you very much. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something to some teenagers or to some children who are rebelling against mom and daddy. You better thank God you're not living in the Old Testament days. You say, prove it. Turn over to the book of Deuteronomy with me just a moment. The book of Deuteronomy in chapter number 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse number 18. Deuteronomy 21, verse number 18. Rebellion, God hates it. He hates it. It is sin. The Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Witchcraft. God's saying, I don't like it. Because God knows when you rebel against mom and daddy, in reality you're rebelling against Him, because He's the one who told you to honor and obey mom and daddy. And we see in Deuteronomy 21, 18, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son. Let me stop here and say, anybody have a stubborn and rebellious son? Don't raise your hand. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put away evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Don't tell me rebellion is something that God just winks at. God doesn't like it. God's against it. And it's time that we understand that when we rebel against mama and daddy, that we are ultimately rebelling against God, and God will take us down eventually. Eventually. Now, let me apply this spiritually, because I'm applying it to the physical relationship like I did last week. But then we're going to flip over under every point and apply it to the spiritual relationship, because what Aksaw did with her physical father, physical children can learn from that. But then also spiritual children of our Heavenly Father God, we need to do the same thing with Him. Let me pause here and say this, that just like Axel respected her father, even so we as God's children should respect our Heavenly Father and not rebel against Him. In Numbers 14:9, only rebel not ye against the Lord. Joshua 22:29, God forbid that we should rebel against the Lord and turn this day from following the Lord. Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You know what that word fear there means? It means to show or have deep respect and reverence for. You know, I wonder tonight, are you showing respect or are you showing rebellion towards your Heavenly Father? You know, you can't have it both ways. You're either respecting Him or you're rebelling against Him. Which one is it? By the way, it's the same way in your home, especially the teenagers, the children, the teenagers. If you're still at home, I'm speaking directly to you. Are you respecting your parents or are you rebelling against them? It's one or the other. You say, well, I'm respecting them so far, but then I'm rebelling. No, it doesn't look that way. You can't have it both ways. You're either respecting or you're rebelling. Which one is it? And it's the same way spiritually. By the way, you know what rebellion is spiritually? If He tells you to do something, you don't do it, you're a rebel. So am I. Is there anything in this book? Now, we're not perfect. That's not what I'm asking. But is there anything in this book that you know is God's will and you're not doing it? Let me just point one thing out. What about soul winning? How many doors did you knock last week? How many people did you share your faith with last week? Well, that's just not my thing, rebel. Rebel. Rebellion. Because who told you to do it? Is it a command or a suggestion? I'm asking. It's a command. If you do not do it, that's rebellion. That's rebellion. Number one, she respected her daddy. Number two, we go quickly tonight. You know I don't mean that when I say that. But number two, not only she respected her daddy, but number two, she recognized her daddy's goodness. Well, I like this right here. We see this in verse number 19. Look at it. Now, this is her speaking. Caleb asked her in verse 18, what wouldest thou? In other words, what do you want? Who answered? Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Thou hast given me a south land. It's interesting that before she ever petitioned him, she praised him. Did you hear what I just said? Before she ever asked him, she thanked him. In other words, she said, thou hast given me a south land. In this we see her recognizing the fact that what she had came from Caleb. She recognized his goodness to her in giving her the south land. You know, in this day and age, children take for granted what their parents have done and what their parents are doing for them. You know, it's absolutely ridiculous to see the amount of ingratitude towards dads and moms in the home. Every child needs to be grateful for a daddy and a mama who have cared for them, watched over them, protected and provided for them down through the years. Now that's not being done across America. Some teenager may be saying, I hope not, especially in our youth group here. But some teenager, no doubt, if they heard me preaching this, may be saying, you don't know what I go through. They don't let me do anything. My parents aren't cool. Let me tell you something, rebel. Rebel, let me tell you something. When's the last time you recognized your dad and mom's goodness in your life? When's the last time you took the opportunity to say thank you for the clothes I'm wearing? Thank you for the food that you put on the table. Thank you for the house we live in, for the bed we sleep in. Thank you for sacrificing to help me get to where I am tonight. When's the last time you did that, teenager? See, we just suck off all the time, but we never give back. And it's God's will that we recognize our parents' goodness to us. By the way, however old you are, you'd never be that old if your mom and daddy didn't care for you when you couldn't care for yourself.
Amen, folks. Somebody help me out tonight. Amen.
I need some moms and dads who have some teenagers to say some amen tonight. Because this needs to be preached. If they rebel against you, they'll rebel against God. And they need to recognize their parents' goodness in their life. God, help us to be grateful and not disrespectful to our parents. Some of you need to express to your dad, your mom, how thankful you are for all they've done for you down through the years. Some of your moms and dads would have a heart attack if you start thanking them for that, because you've never done it before. I honor my mom. I honor my dad. They still sacrifice for me. They still sacrifice for my family. And I want them to know I don't take that for granted. Physically speaking, one reason I'm standing here is because my mom and dad. They cared for me. They clothed me. They took care of me. When I was sick, they took me to the doctor. You know, what's interesting right now, when Judson and Jalen get sick, it's not coming out of their bank account. They don't have one. But so many times, teenagers who wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for their parents, physically speaking, you understand, they take it for granted. They take it for granted. One thing we can learn from Axel is that she respected her daddy, but secondly, she recognized his goodness. She came up to him and said, "Listen, Daddy, you've already given me something. You've already given me the Southland. You've already given me that." She said, "I know that this land I have has come from you." God, give us some children like that. God, give us kids who are thankful, who are grateful. Have you ever seen so much ingratitude in your life? I mean, honestly, have you ever seen so much ingratitude in your life? Listen, there's a lot of things I can't stand, but one major thing I can't stand is ingratitude. I can't take it. I can't take it. I cannot take it. But you know, every one of our children struggle with that. Because the world pumps them opposite of what I'm giving you tonight. You are who you are. Be your own man. Be your own girl. Don't take orders from anybody. Just do your own thing. Yeah, you do your own thing, and you'll end up in hell. Amen now. I'm trying to help you tonight. I'm trying to help the home. I'm trying to help the children tonight. Straight out of the book of Joshua chapter 15, when there are a lot in the land. Can you believe that that's right there in Joshua 15? What a powerful thought. She recognized her daddy's goodness. And let me pause here and apply this spiritually, because I'm applying it to the physical relationship, also to the spiritual relationship. Just like Axel recognized her father's goodness, even so, we should constantly be recognizing our Heavenly Father's goodness in our lives. Where would we be without the goodness of God? Just sit and think on that thought right there just a moment. If God was not good, where would you be tonight? Now, we all know the answer to that question, don't we? Psalm 107, 15, 21, and 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Hold your place right here and turn over to the book of Luke chapter 17 with me quickly. Luke chapter 17, look at verse number 11. Luke 17, verse number 11. We're looking at Axel, the daughter, in this father-daughter relationship. She respected her daddy. She recognized her daddy's goodness, so should we. Luke 17, 11. Came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. As he entered into a certain village, there met him ten men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Now, you know, leprosy is a type of sin. So all of us are spiritual lepers, you understand? And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." It came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Now, what's this portion teaching as well? This portion is teaching this: all 10 of them were healed, but only one said thank you. You know, really, are we as grateful to God as we should be? If anybody says yes, please. None of us are as grateful to God as we should be. But do you catch yourself living in the dumps and living in despair and living in fear and living in worry and living in all these kind of things? You know what that must be to God. Now, I'm speaking to myself also, but what a slap in the face. When God is so good to us, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. And I am so cut tonight from my ungrateful heart. When's the last time you went to the Lord? Understand when I say you, I'm talking about me too. When's the last time you went to the Lord just to praise Him? I'm not coming with anything, God. I'm just coming to say thank you. Thank you for saving me. That's enough right there, isn't it? Thank you for answering prayer. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my health. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for my marriage. Thank you for my job. Thank you for the shelter. Thank you for the clothes. Thank you for the food. Thank you for the money. And folks, we could stay here from now until eternity rolls around thanking and praising God. She recognized His goodness. Teenager, are you doing the same in your home? Married person, are you doing the same with your mom and dad if they're still living? We need to be thankful, don't we? Then there's a third thing about Aksel, and that is she requested her father's blessing. She respected him, she recognized his goodness, and then she requested his blessing upon her life. We see this in verses 18 and 19, where in 18 she comes to him, and then verse 19, who answered, "Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water." She said, "Give me a blessing, Daddy." You know, it's interesting. After she had shown respect to her daddy and recognized his goodness in her life, now she requests his continued blessing in her life. Here she comes, humbly approaching her daddy with respect and recognition, requesting his blessing upon her life. She knew Caleb had it in his power to give her more blessings. Therefore, she comes and asks his blessing upon her life. Now, in this day and age, we need children who go to their daddy and seek his blessing upon their lives. We need that. Now, what I mean by this is that children should involve their dads in their lives by talking with him, sharing their heart to him, sharing their needs with him. Dads who spend time with their girls and their boys trying to meet those needs. Why don't you go to your dad and share your heart with him and your needs and seek his approval and seek his blessing on your life. Seek his comfort and guidance in your life. See, children should learn to seek their daddy's blessing in their lives. Now, I'm talking about a man whose blessing is worthy to be received, you understand? But you know, even in marriage, now let me give you a word of caution here. You should be very cautious about rushing into marriage without getting your mom and daddy behind it. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that you know, if it's God's will and all this, and listen, you understand there are exceptions to the rule. You understand that, right? You understand that. But I'm saying, in general, you need to seek your mom and daddy's blessing before you ever get married. Amen. This is missing in today's age. It really is. It really is. Now, let me say this also. By the way, when you have a need, go to your daddy, young person. Go to your daddy. Do you understand what I'm going to do for my children, Judson and Jalen, if they come to me and they're showing me respect, and if they came to me and said, you know, Dad, I just love you so much. You've been so good to me. I mean, all this around us. I mean, God's used you to put clothes on my back and shoes on my feet. Thank you so much for. I'm talking about you and Mommy. Thank you so much for providing. But you know, Daddy, I got a need. Is there any way you can help me with it? What do you think I'm going to do? No! If they come to me respecting me and recognizing my goodness, if it's in my power to do it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And you know, any daddy who's decent would do the same for his kids. And we need children today who involve their dads. Involve them. Talk to them. Now let me flip this to the spiritual side. In the same way that Aksel approached her daddy humbly, respectfully, and recognizing his goodness in order to receive his further blessings on her life, even so we as God's children should approach our Heavenly Father humbly, respectfully, and recognizing his goodness and requesting his continued blessing in our lives, realizing that it's his blessing that we need. Did she need these waters for her land? Yes, she needed those waters. So she humbly, respectfully, and recognizing her daddy, that's how she approached him to request something from him. And I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says in James 4:2, you have not because you ask not. I'm going to show you one last portion of Scripture here, and then we're slowly coming to a close. Flip back to the book of Luke with me just a moment. Luke chapter number 11. Luke chapter number 11, and look at verse number 1. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. Luke 11 verse 1. We're looking at approaching our Heavenly Father in the same way that Aksel approached her daddy. That's humbly, respectfully, recognizing his goodness. It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. He said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give him. And give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any one of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? In one region of Africa, the first converts to Christianity were very diligent about praying. In fact, the believers each had their own special place outside the village where they went to pray in solitude. And these villagers reached these, what they called prayer rooms, by using their own private footpaths through the brush. But when grass began to grow over one of these trails, it was evident that the person to whom that trail belonged was not praying. So the other villagers would nicely approach him apparently and say, there's grass on your path. And they were saying, your prayer life is lacking. You know what would be great in the home? For moms and dads and children to keep each other accountable in the area of prayer. We need to learn to request our Heavenly Father's blessings respectfully and recognizing His goodness and in humility. The father-daughter relationship is such a God-blessed relationship. Through Caleb and Aksel, we can learn and glean some great truths in which to help us in our physical relationship as children with parents, specifically daughters with fathers, while at the same time seeing how our Heavenly Father is with us and how we as his children should be with him. Caleb the father proved his daughter's husband. God protects us also. Caleb the father performed his own word. God cannot lie. Caleb the father presented his time to his daughter. God is never too busy for us. Caleb the father provided his daughter's request. God meets our needs and answers our prayers. Axel the daughter respected her father, and God's child should respect him. Axel the daughter recognized her father's goodness, and God's child should praise him for his goodness in their lives. Axel the daughter requested her father's blessing, and we need to humbly and respectfully and recognizing him request his blessing in our life. Now I ask you this question, I'm closing, here it is. If you're a dad tonight, are you following the example of Caleb? If you're a child tonight, are you following the example of Axel? The father-daughter relationship. Let's all bow our heads together, please, and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our Father, we love you tonight. I thank you for this message. Thank you, Lord, for how you've applied it to my own heart, my own life. And I pray that you help me as a physical dad to follow the example of Caleb. And help me at the same time to recognize you as my Heavenly Father, that you go above and beyond what Caleb did. As a matter of fact, what Caleb did was only because you helped him do it anyway. And I pray as a son, as a child, that you help me to follow the example in my physical relationship with my parents to respect and recognize and request. While at the same time as your child, to respect you, to recognize your goodness, to request your blessing. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. Let me try to bring this invitation in the way that would please the Lord. The obvious question I want to start with tonight is God your Heavenly Father? See, every message should point people to Jesus Christ, should point people to the Lord and to our Heavenly Father. And this message, even though we lifted up Caleb and Axel, it points us to our God and how good he's been to us. I wonder tonight, do you know him? Is he your father? Has there been a time in your life when you've trusted him and him alone? When you've confessed your sin to him and asked him to come in and be your Lord and Savior? If you cannot say that tonight, but you say, Jody, I'll tell you one thing. I don't know if he's my father or not, but I want him. I want him as my father. I do not know that, but I want him. I really want him. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody like that? You say, pray for me. I need to be sure that I'm a Christian. I need to be sure that I'm in the family of God. Let me ask you this. If you're a daddy, would you raise your hand if you're a dad? If you're a dad, yes. Good. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Are you following the example of Caleb? Are you protecting your children? Are you a man of your word? Are you giving your time to your kids? Are you providing for your family? Maybe in just a moment, you'd like to respond and ask God to help you be more like him. Not Caleb, but God, the Heavenly Father. See, we're his representative in the home. Caleb did a good job in his home. We need to do the same. If you're a daughter, would you raise your hand, please, if you're a daughter? Yes. Let me take it this far. If you're a daughter still living at home, would you raise your hand? You're still living at home and you're a daughter. Yes, that's a lot of you. If you got your hand raised, I want you to look at me, please. You can put your hands down. Now I'm looking at you. My eyes are surfing. And I see you. I want to ask you a question, girls. Do you understand what God's given you and your daddy? Do you understand what he's done for you? Every girl in this world, there's a lot of girls who would love to have a daddy like you've got. Now, you know I'm telling you the truth. Amen? You know I'm telling you the truth. Why don't you
It doesn't have to be at this altar. But I'll tell you one thing that'd thrill his heart. Thrill his heart for you to go to him and say, let's go pray, Daddy. You're just trying to get people forward. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. What a great blessing it'd be if God's leading you to go to your dad, if he's in the service. If he's not, go to him at home tonight. And say, Daddy, would you pray with me? I want to thank you for what you've done for me. And by the way, all children, married or unmarried, if our parents are still alive, we need to express our gratitude to them too. Amen? We really do. Girls, I'm going to ask if God's leading you with this. If your dad's not in the service, maybe you want to come get your mom and pray. Ask God to help you. Are you following the example of Aksaw? Are you respecting? Are you recognizing his goodness? Are you requesting his blessing? May the Lord help us. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, help those to come who need to come. Help us all to respond in a way that honors you. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If God is dealing with you, would you leave your place? Would you come to this altar? As Brother Gary sings, would you leave, please? Would you come now?
Have thine own way.
Why don't some of you girls grab your daddy?
Have thine own way.
Daddy, let's go pray.
Thou art
let's go
the
pray.
Potter,
let's go pray.
I am
let's
the
go
clay.
Pray. If God's leading you to do this,
me
I just want you to do it. If God's leading you to do it,
after thy will,
if the Lord's leading you to do it,
while I am waiting,
if the Lord's leading you to do it, they're playing through. Maybe you're a young man. Maybe you're a teenage boy or a boy at home, and you just feel led, impressed to bring your dad or your mom to the altar. Why don't you do it now? I know it's a father-daughter relationship, but why don't you do it? Why don't you step out and be a man and say, Daddy, thank you for what you've done in my life. And by the way, maybe there's somebody here who's rebelling against God. As our Heavenly Father, you realize that you haven't been following Aksaw's example in respecting God and recognizing His goodness and requesting His blessing. Now's your time to come. As Brother Gary sings that second verse, if God's dealing with you, would you leave your place and come? Do it now, please. Would you do it? Do it. As Brother Gary sings, please.
Have thine own way, Lord.
Have thine own way.
Search me
and try me,
Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord,
wash me just now, as in thy presence.
If you're still standing, I'd like you to look this way. God is dealing tonight. We appreciate how He's dealing. Have you all have a mom or daddy already in heaven? Would you raise your hand? Did I preach the truth tonight or not, folks? Sure I did. Sure I did. This is missing in our country. And sad to say, but it's missing in our churches too. But God help it not to be missing in Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Amen. God help us with it. Thank you for being here tonight. Preacher, you go ahead. If you don't mind to sit down just a moment, please.
Thank you very much, Brother Jody. I appreciate that emphasis. And it's true. It's true. Now, let me change gears with you just a little bit now. But this week, we Brother Jody and I were discussing that Brother Gary Seaman will be with us 25 years on August the 2nd. And Jody and I discussed something that we ought to do for Brother Gary. He's been a blessing and a help to me personally, in my ministry, and it's been a good music program for the people before I got up to preach, and it's been a blessing all these years. His Brother Gary, and then he's been a blessing in so many other Sunday school, bus ministry, and just visiting, and just many, many other ways Brother Gary served the Lord. And I know, man, that you love Brother Gary, you appreciate his ministry. And I came to Brother Gary and asked him, I thought that one of the things I started with, I thought, Brother Gary, for we want to do something for you for your anniversary. And I thought maybe you'd like to go back down to Brazil and see Brother Graham, make that trip. And he said, well, preacher, he said, now, he said that'd be fine, but he said, right now, I'm trying to buy a car. My car is about worn out, one and a half. And he had a, there was a car, a Nissan Maxima, I believe it is. It's used, a recent year, and low mileage for $17,900. And he said, now, preacher, he said, I need to buy that. It's a good buy. But he said, I don't expect the church to do that. But he said, if whatever you want to give me, give it toward that car. And so I said, well, Brother Gary, I'll certainly do that. We'll do something for you. And he didn't ask us to buy the car now. And I didn't pledge to buy the car. But the Lord just woke me up the other night. And that we ought to do something for Brother Gary on his, for 25 good, faithful years of, and he's put himself into it, and he's, God's blessed this church, and he's helped me. I know Brother Gary's been a great help, a great blessing to my ministry. And the Lord woke me up, and that we ought to take him an offering. And I don't know how much, I'd like to see us buy the entire car, but and the Lord laid on my heart to give $1,000 toward whatever we can get raised to help Brother Gary. He's going to get the car, but I think we ought to help him on it. And let's all pray about what the Lord. Now, this is above your tithe and offering. Now, we're as you know, we're close financially. God's blessed us financially. We're going to make it with the help of the Lord and you people and God's blessing. But we also have a responsibility to Brother Gary to show him an appreciation. Now, whatever you can give, some. Some maybe can give little, some can give more, but let's just all just pray about what you can do above your tithes and offerings and a love offering for Brother Gary on his 20, now that's 25 years. He's given faithful service here. And as I said, I'm going to give 1,000. Now in the next, say the next month, I want you to, you on your regular envelope, you might get some printed up, just regular envelopes just for the Brother Gary's offering. And let's all pray about what the Lord has. Now, I believe the Lord would have you. If you love Brother Gary, appreciate his ministry, let's give something. Given multiples, since it's 25 years, $25 or multiples of 25, 50 or 100 or 250 or 500, 1,000, whatever you can give. Let's make a have a good offering to help Brother Gary and get this car. Now, he's worn it out serving the Lord here, too. Now, folks, he's worn it out serving you. And so I believe the Lord woke me up twice the other night. I just told the deacons this tonight. And Brother Gary didn't ask us to buy the car. He just said, if you, whatever you're going to give it toward that. But the Lord laid it on my heart that we ought to try to help him on this car, give as much as we can. And I'd like to see us give $10,000 or $15,000 anyway if we can, or the whole thing, whatever. Let's just obey the Lord and give what the Lord, the Brother Gary has been a blessing to you. Over the next month, you pray about it. And over the next, I've got a date down here, about 30 days, about to say June 14th. Let's have these gifts in. And so Brother Gary can, now he needs to go and get that car tomorrow, but I told him to get a loan where he can pay it off anytime he wanted to. And so he's going to get it. And let's just be a blessing to Brother Gary, obey the Lord in this thing. And I know the Lord will be honored. Brother Gary will be pleased, and I believe the Lord will bless you for it. So I made two announcements today. That's the second one. First one, I'm leaving here, folks, in a few months. And now tonight, though, but the Lord laid this on my heart, and I know you know what I'm saying is true. And so you pray about it, start giving. Now, anytime we take an offering, you can put it on there. Make sure you can give with your regular tithe. You can put over there on the corner, special offering, Brother Gary, so much, how much you want to give. And let's be a blessing, Brother Gary. Okay, God bless you. Good night. God bless you.